Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 25th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And as you know, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, a quick recap of yesterday's show, by the way. We had Brian Rust on RustCoinAndGift.com doing a great job. I call Brian Rust, a.k.a. Dr. Money, because he really helps you get constitutional currency. So Dr. Money was on with us, and we talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about a growing number of experts are now calling on the U.S. government to recognize natural immunity. Yeah, that's right. CDC vaccination schedule should recognize natural immunity as well, they're now saying. We also talked about the losing battle to fix gold at $35 Mises Institute. And it's interesting, gold used to be $35 an ounce back in like the 1960s. But you know what? Then now, silver is $37 an ounce. How long will it be till copper is $37 an ounce? And silver is skyrocketed above that. You can see the meltdown in our economy and in our society at every level, as we've jettisoned dishonest money. In fact, Janet Yellen and others at the Federal Reserve are now putting together new policies to eliminate paper money altogether, reports WND.com. A cashless society, U.S. Democrats are proposing a, quote, digital dollar only. Democrats are pushing cashless currency legislation. Forbes reporting on this as well. China's digital money to be the ultimate financial censorship tool. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not fall for the headlines. It's Republicans involved in the swamp as much as it is Democrats. Make no mistake about that reality check, please. How can we fight against a cashless society, you ask? Well, that's going to be tough, ladies and gentlemen. You got to put together barter plans with your buddies. I'll tell you that right now. I care not who controls a nation's political affairs so long as I control her currency. That's the Thug Rothschild with that statement, ladies and gentlemen. Chinese state media accidentally released censorship rules on Ukraine-Russia coverage. Glenn Beck argues that the American way of life will not survive the Great Reset. We better reverse course. Boy, Glenn's right once in a while, isn't he? We also, second hour, had our guest on Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. And we talked about back in July 2019, the Taxpayers First Act, TFA, made a lot of difference. We also created the Office of the Taxpayer Advocate. Really, we need to reduce and shut down the audit and end the IRS. But in the meantime, we're doing the best we can, I guess, right? The top 10 most tax-friendly states we talked about, Utah made the list. We also talked about the cost of living index by state. Critical topics on your radio always. And that's a recap of yesterday's show. First hour today, we are talking to Chris Carlson about, can you connect the dots and start to see the big picture? We talked about Black Lives Matter and how the government's going after you for not wearing a mask. But Black Lives Matter can have literally billions and trillions in funding, no problem. What's up with that? That's a great question. The first hour on today's show drilled into those details big time. Check it out if you have the mind to listen. It'll be up not too long after the broadcast today. But News the Networks Refuse to Use continues this hour with Dr. Scott Bradley. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, already you've touched upon about 15 subjects that are rich in abundant discussion points. Particularly, the checks and balances, the idea of honest money. I mean, I've got plenty of stories to tell about some of those things. But before we jump in, as is often my habit, I guess I do this for some of the folks in Florida, maybe, that are, they just don't know what they're missing by not being out here in these mountain valleys. 12 degrees right now, light snow on the ground. We're talking a Frosty the Snowman morning. And you guys out in Florida are probably eating oranges off the trees. But just need to know that, spring will come out here too, and we'll have a delightful summer ultimately. But yeah, we're in the cold belt right now. So, in fact, I did a radio program Thursday night up in Alaska, and their weather reports, I mean, they were reporting like 32 degrees and stuff like that, and we were 14. I mean, it was like, holy cow. So sometimes the elevation and the mountain valleys do get fresh.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're grateful for the seasons, though, and 'tis the season year-round to tell the truth, and that's why we're truth tellers on your radio. I want to talk to Dr. Bradley about a couple of things relating to this invasion of Ukraine. No doubt it's heinous. No doubt it's evil. No doubt it's a problem. But, ladies and gentlemen, I have a different take than probably anybody else. I have a Founding Father-esque take. We'll discuss that in a second. But the stock markets plummeted Thursday after Russia invaded Ukraine, causing, they say, global energy prices to surge. So the stock market plummeted, but the energy prices surged, and the equity markets plunged. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, for example, dropped about 800 points alone. Dr. Bradley.
You know, it's interesting to me, all these reports about stocks and stuff like that. I really discount any truth in those. And here's kind of why. Everything is based upon a false economy of fiat money. Money created, stroke of a pen or a stroke of a keyboard or something like that. And so what happens is we have a false impression about a climbing stock market, for example, that's based upon, we've pumped some more money in, so there's more money chasing the stocks, so the stock prices go up. And the idea that there's a tangible asset with a piece of paper is a fallacious thought. And you know, the paper mongers, as some of the founding fathers used to call them, they're chasing a false economy, but because they get people kind of bought into the system, they're able to reap their rewards and get out before the paper crumbles back to nothing. So I guess the stock market stuff, if stuff like a tangible asset, an oil price, an energy unit, whatever they're using to measure it, has taken a hit, I can see why there's problems with some of these things. For example, our whole economy is based upon our ability to produce goods. The production of goods takes energy. The movement of goods takes energy. The purchase of goods to go out and get them and install them and everything else like that. Oil is in carpet, for example. I mean, everything is tied to our energy. And what has been happening is a war on the natural economy of the United States. So this stuff that's happening right now, even the surging of silver and gold. I mean, back in the original days, back in 1792, gold was 15 times the price of silver, and now it's way out of whack for that. We're talking 70 or 80 times probably. But the fact of the matter is, there's gold hasn't changed, silver hasn't changed, platinum hasn't changed, oil hasn't changed. Really, what we're looking at is a pumping up of the economy with false dollars that have been created out of thin air, and we've done a plethora of that in recent, well, not just last 2 years, but decades. And so what we have is a false impression. People say, oh, goodness, look how much I made on my silver. Well, your silver is still silver. It doesn't do anything more or less than it did before. And by the way, I've got some interesting stories about controlling the economy and the cashless society and what Pancho Villa in Mexico did a little over 100 years ago and his efforts to prevent the people from controlling their own economy by having real money. And he blew the silver mine shut. There were some very, very rich silver mines in Mexico. 90% of the nuggets are they're brought out with the same percentage of silver in them as a minted coin. And he blew the mine shut so the people could not control their exchange. And that was something that's happening today with the effort to go with a cashless society so that they can manipulate and jack everything around the way they want to. And the Mexican people, again, Pancho Villa was a communist. Plain, clear, he was a red flagger. He was attempting to establish a communist nation south of the border of the United States. What a disaster that would have been. Now the United States is well along its socialist path too. But that was understood even by a rough and ready cowboy communist, Pancho Villa, and his buddies in his communist effort. But they tried to control the economy like's happening today. Beware of these things and learn from history.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back. I want to get into this unjust war, and I want to get into how disingenuous it is, even for simple viewers on the surface. We'll talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds on your radio.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about this invasion of Ukraine by Russia. You know, you got to question the details surrounding this big time. Let me give you kind of some points. I believe we have an unjust war going on here. But I also believe that the United States should stay out of it. We got to have a humble foreign policy. But we're involved big time. Here's what the details are. Moscow relies on the money that it makes by selling oil and gas, right? That energy fuels Europe's economy. So Russia makes a bunch of money on oil and gas that fuels Europe's economy. It heats its homes as well. So they say the punishing sanctions that the United States and European Union have so far announced against Russia for its, quote, invasion of Ukraine including shutting the government and banks out of global financial markets, restricting technology exports, and freezing assets of influential Russians, but noticeably missing from that reality, that list of sanctions, is a reprisal that might cause Russia the most pain. That would be choking off the export of Russian fuel. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we ought to do that. I'm merely showing you the truth about they're going far enough to make it look on the surface like they're going after Russia and sanctioning them. And, hey, you know what? Biden's going to meet with the G6 other people, so the G7's going to meet, and they're going to figure out what to do to stop Russia. How dare they? And on the stage, they make it sound great. But no one's tampering with the real transfer of energy to the European Union by Russia, because they don't want to really stop the, well, they don't want to punish the victims, right? But the problem is, who are the victims? Is it Ukraine? Is it Russia? Is it Europe? As Dr. Bradley wisely pointed out, is it us at the United States because the stock market plunged and we all lose money in the stock market? Okay, where are the victims? And this is kind of the part of the problem why our founding fathers really warned us to avoid foreign entanglements like the plague, Dr. Bradley. But we seem to just love to be right at the center of it every single time.
You know, there's so much we could talk about. The Westphalian Treaty of 1648 prohibits nations from interfering in the internal affairs of other nations, which is the basis of how we even declared our independence. If we became independent, nobody could mess with our internal affairs. And that's been the basis of nations. And we've made a great effort to involve ourselves internally with all those kinds of things, from the United Nations going forward, and of course, the NATO and the efforts of the treaties and everything like that are doing this. This is such a disaster. I'm absolutely convinced that the true narrative of what has gone down has never been exposed at this point. Now, this is heinous. Warfare is the most onerous burden any nation engages in. It's institutionalized, legalized, mass murder. And everything else moral goes down the tubes with that kind of approach to things. But you look at some of these, the stories that are coming out, and I guess I have to scratch my head. We get, the drums of war get beaten constantly with a narrative that does not reflect the truth. I mean, you go back to the Gulf of Tonkin incident that basically gave LBJ and McNamara the opportunity to send 500,000 people immediately almost into Southeast Asia, and resulted in the deaths of 58,000 of our fellow citizens, millions of Vietnamese, hundreds of thousands, and literally millions if you count the Vietnamese being
And
made.
What did we accomplish? Nothing but the war machine.
And the war machine, the industrial complex that makes money on it. There is money made. Follow the money. But the fact is, I mean, you can look at what was said about Assad a few years ago in Syria, and at the behest of Israel. I believe Israel or Israel operatives were involved in some of the heinous things that happened, chemical warfare against citizens of Assyria, those fuel air bombs that destroyed large blocks of territory there in their cities. I believe those were set off by provocateurs that were trying to offend. They get the world's psyche against Assad and bring everybody together against him. I just, everything that happens, I have to scratch my head and say, there's more behind this story. I mean, and I don't understand why neither one of them's right, when Putin sends missiles and aircraft against Ukraine, why people don't get up in arms when Israel sends stuff against Lebanon and Syria, or Saudi Arabia sends against Yemen. It's an inconsistent story, and there's so much we could take from the Founding Fathers' words about how we blind ourselves with improper beliefs about people that we have kind of the image they can do no wrong, and others that can do no wrong, right. And so we have these envenomed collisions. And I don't know, Sam, there's just so little truth in this. Truth is probably the first casualty of war. It's the first death, probably, of war. And here we are getting engaged in something that truly, truly violates everything that we were pled with about the Founding Fathers, about not getting engaged in things in the world that would draw us into that most onerous burden a nation experiences. Now, by the way, these economic sanctions, you know, in the 73rd Federalist Paper, Hamilton said, a power over a man's support is a power over his will. And in the 79th, he said, a power over a man's subsistence amounts to a power over his will. So a couple of times Hamilton brought this idea up about what economics do. And is economics much less than an act of war? Or is it an act of war? And
see, I would submit to you that it's an act of war, especially when you are breaching the sovereignty of other nations and breaching the agreements of other nations. See, exactly. I don't know why we have control over the banking reality of Russia and or Ukraine. Where do we get banking authority to freeze bank accounts and to lock down dignitaries or lock down wealthy people or, you know, in these countries? Or where do we get the authority just to decide that we're godlike and we can swoop in and control their finances? Literally, it's an act of war without question. It's beyond debate, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I have a similar opinion about that, and that's exactly what the Brits did that actually ultimately drove us to the War of 1812. They were trying to control our economy by our trade. And so if you embargo or you block or you sink, whatever, I mean, seize,
freeze,
ships at sea.
Seize, right.
Anyway, the point of the matter is that that's what drove us to the War of 1812, this economic war that the Brits were engaging against. It's what drove China to war against Britain a couple of times in the 1800s when the Brits were pillaging the economic strength of China through the biggest drug cartel that's ever existed on the earth. The British royalty was involved in people say, oh, the China war or the opium wars. Oh, that was the Chinese trying to do something wicked with drugs. No, the Chinese were trying to prevent drugs from coming into their country. And they called out the Brits for doing it. The Brits were pillaging their silver, if you will, out of their country by selling drugs to them. It was economic warfare, and the Chinese said no, and the Brits pushed back, and they crushed the Chinese effort to stop that. You look at what's happening anywhere in the world that we're doing this. We look at what happened with Japan just before World War II. The United States engaged in an economic embargo with Japan. We ended up having Pearl Harbor. There's always blowback on these things, and the United States has no justification in doing any of the things that's happening. It's all in favor of the narrative that they've created about this. Again, I'm not saying Putin's a lily-white kind of knight in shining armor that's trying to save the Russian ethnics in southeast Ukraine, which is maybe something that's happening like that, but all these other things that happen, there's just falsehood told. I mean, what was happening in Syria was not the truth. What was happening in what has happened in Lebanon, what has been going on in Yemen, I don't believe that we know what's really going on in Iraq or Afghanistan, for that matter. We shouldn't be engaged in things we're being fooled. And we are.
We're talking about unjust wars with Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. His website, his lifelong goal and collegiate series, right, to preserve the nation. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
We stand with the brave people of Ukraine. We fully support Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, its right of self-defense, and its right to choose its own path. And this ends the public part of the meeting, so then I ask the media to leave the room, and we continue in just a second.
Moments ago, NATO leader Jens Stoltenberg. President Biden is meeting virtually with NATO heads of state for a summit to discuss the security situation in and around Ukraine. Although it's not official yet, President Biden has selected D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson as his nominee to succeed retiring Justice Stephen Breyer, making history by picking a black woman for the nation's highest court. That comes from two sources familiar with the situation. They told that to Politico. Thanks for listening and a TGIF to you. We are USA Radio News.
Fever is a potential sign of COVID or the flu, and the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Be vigilant and seek medical advice at the first sign of fever. Be accurate with Exergen. Exergen Temporal Scanners, available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
The greatest radio shows of all time.
Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Classic radio theater.
Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
The story of Dr. Kildare.
The Pepsodent Show starring Bob Hope.
The greatest radio shows of all time. Classic radio theater with Wyatt Cox. On this radio station or wherever podcasts are served, just by searching for Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox. That's Classic Radio Theater with Wyatt Cox.
People of the free world, unite.
There's been a global show of support for the people of Ukraine in Beirut, in Rome, and in New York City. This demonstrator came from that country.
This is not only about Ukraine, it's about everybody out there. Please help our families.
And even people in Russia turning out by the thousands to decry their country's invasion as emotional calls for protests grew on social media. Around 1,700 people in 54 Russian cities were detained. Almost 1,000 of them were in Moscow. Hundreds of posts came in on social media condemning Moscow's most aggressive actions since the 1979 invasion of Afghanistan. Vladimir Putin had called the attack a special military operation. This was a false claim that the U.S. had predicted would be a pretext for invasion. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So we're talking about unjust wars, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's unjust that Russia invaded Ukraine. It's wrong. But I also think it's even more unjust for the freest nation in the world that should understand these principles of non-aggression, non-intervention. I don't know why we think we need to be involved at all. Where do we think we get authority to breach the sovereignty of other nations? Where do we think we get the authority to manipulate the banking reality of other nations? Okay, Moscow relies on the money that it makes from the European Union. They've got a relationship there that if you could use wisely, might avert war even. Might bring better reason to the discussions. But you have whacked out Joe that can't even talk, negotiating with Vladimir Putin. You've got the government of the United States threatening, intimidating, sanctioning acts of war in and of themselves. Is Ukraine a repeat of Afghanistan, Dr. Bradley?
Well, it's funny. That's not funny. It's tragic. We extricate ourselves from one thing just to hop in another out of the frying pan into the fire environment. And truly, you look at the 69th Federalist Paper, for example. Hamilton, in very clear detail, talks about the war-making powers and how the executive has zero powers to do so. And as you point out, we have Sleepy Joe doing his thing or somebody else's thing that's pulling his strings, because I'm not sure he realizes which bedroom he wakes up in every morning. But the point of the matter is, the executive is pulling strings now that are truly acts of war. He's pushing this into a war footing, and of course the narrative that the is being told almost universally in the media is encouraging that. And you hear the weeping women and the crying children and everything in the background. And honestly, those are not how you make a decision in the nation. The emotion is an issue, certainly, and it moves hearts. But the fact of the matter is, we have a deliberative process that we use. And, of course, we haven't used it since we got in the United Nations. There's been an abrogation of all responsibility of the legislative. Legislative has the power to declare war. No one else does. There's no treaty. There's no executive power. There's nothing in there. The legislative must exercise or not. And they do the deliberation. They look at the justice and the cost and all the issues that are associated with it. And they do their due diligence, and then they vote up or down in a solemn vote that says, we're committing the blood, the fortune, and the sacred honor of this nation to this. And usually that deliberative process results in cooler heads prevailing, saying we don't have a justification. But we've got to take the, you know, favorite nation status. When you and I were back in Washington, D.C. about 6 years ago, I don't know if you recall, but when we were in the Senate, we were back in the peanut gallery observing. The Ukrainians were lobbying there for full support of the United States. And honestly, the Ukrainian leadership are oligarchs. These guys are no better, in my opinion, than Putin. They're self-centered, egotistical, money-grubbing individuals that are doing this for their own purposes. And the Ukrainian people are, again, the pawns in this thing. And we could go at length about, I probably ought to get that quotation out and just take me a minute to find it. But St. George Tucker talked at length about the concerns about warfare and why the Founding Fathers handled it the way they did. And it was to prevent the people from suffering. Here's the quotation, if we've got just a minute. Yeah, I think we do. Okay. Okay, the power declaring war with all of the train of consequences, direct and indirect, forms the next branch of the power confided to Congress, make a note of that, people, and happy it is for the people of America that it is so vested. The term war embraces the extremes of human misery and iniquity and is alike the offspring of the one and the parent of the other. What else is the history of war from the earliest ages to the present moment but an afflicting detail of the sufferings and calamities of mankind resulting from the ambition, usurpation, animosities, resentments, piques, intrigues, avarice, rapacity, oppressions, murders, assassinations, and other crimes of the few possessing power? How rare are the instances of a just war? How few of those which are thus denominated have had their existence in a national injury? The personal claims of the sovereign are confounded with the interest of the nation over which he presides, and his private grievances or complaints transferred to the people who are thus made the victims of a quarrel in which they have no part, and they become principal to it by their sufferings. War would be banished from the face of the earth were nations, instead of princes, to decide upon their necessity. Injustice can never be the collective resentment of a people emerged from barbarianism. Happy the nation where the people are the arbiters of their own interests and their own conduct. Happy were it for the world did the people of all nations possess this power. That's the power that was granted to this nation constitutionally. And this idea of the power mongers bringing the people into the conflict, everybody suffering because of it. Our nation's going to suffer this, at the very least, economically. And we don't have a monkey in this game. It's not our monkey. It's not our dog in the fight. It's simply a complete perversion of the war-making power, the most onerous burden, and the most amazing, awesome force that a nation holds is its war-making power. And the United States dabbles in it constantly. And again, follow the money. Look who wins. The warmongers, the military-industrial complex. And right now, I mean, in our home state, Sam, we have numerous F-35s that have been deployed and are on the flank, if you will, of Russia, flying the air there. It's like, okay, so we're out looking for a way to bump into these people and have a cause of war, ultimately, that could justify people in their minds saying, oh, look at that, they shot down one of our F-35s. Boy, what an aggressive, horrible act of war. Oh, man, we're in this all the way. Roll your sleeves up, people. We're going to go against Russia. It's not our war. It's not our dog to fight. And here we are. They're beating the war drums, and Americans are being sucker-punched into this thing by emotion that I think has been contrived. So it's
there's
it's
no doubt about it. Now, there's an interesting article in WorldNet Daily written by Art Moore that I think is relevant here. Here's the single most important thing Biden can do to counter Vladimir Putin. Okay, the Russian leader's coffers are full. Okay? This idea, ladies and gentlemen, that we can sanction him won't do any good. Noting Providence has given us, the United States, the most rich land, right? We have the stockpiles of oil and natural gas and everything else. We could do this. We could go. Biden could just simply say, look, I'm not getting involved in the war. I'm not sanctioning anybody, but here's what I'm going to do. He could go to the Germans and other European nations and promise energy security. Said KT McFarland, Trump's former advisor, you could go to them and say that. You could go to other nations, right? And you could say similar things. Biden could say, buy cheap, clean, American natural gas. You could go to the Asians and say, I'm going to supply you with energy as well. In other words, you could do things that are free market and just say, look, we're not getting involved, but we are going to promote what we have and what we do. Another way to avoid the catastrophe is to lead with peace and lead by example and say, look, we don't engage in foreign affairs. We don't breach sovereign nations. We don't. There's a lot we could do that could change this game, Dr. Bradley.
You know, I hear what they're saying, but that is not the free market. When the leader of a nation backs some economic solution for somebody else, let the free market bring it forward. And to say that Biden has the control over America's resources, our oil industry, for example, that's a socialist fascist perspective. Let's hear what John Quincy Adams said about this when we get
all right,
back.
Let's come back and dig into this, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm not suggesting that the government needs to produce the oil and gas. I'm just simply saying that what we need to do is tell the world we're open for free market business and have governments get out of the way. We'll talk about that too. That may be not what KT McFarland was talking about. It's all how it's carried out. We'll talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen to
it? Our next to oldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing
up. My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation, and he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you about an article that's in WorldNet Daily. The conservatives are rallying, and this is their agenda. Here's the single most important thing Biden can do to counter Vladimir Putin. We can open it up to energy independence, and we can bring forth American energy, and we can guarantee independence to these other nations. That's the conservative counterpart to the Joe Biden, let's sanction. I agree with Dr. Scott Bradley. Neither of them are viable solutions if government controls it. However, I would back up the point and say, look, free markets are valuable. Let's have the federal government of the United States get rid of, divest itself of all of its land that it has no authority to hold in the first place. Let's let the private sector take care of business and put our products and services and everything else on the free market. And let's let the free market peacefully take us out of a war crisis. Even the agenda that the conservatives are promoting right now, this idea that Joe Biden could be hit, you know, you could have, instead of the Russian government be the control factor, it would be the United States to be the control factor. All that's wrongheaded. But the point, if taken properly carried out, could be correct, Dr. Bradley. You're on mute, sir. No... Start over.
Okay. The are we okay here? The sound?
Yep, you're live. Okay. You're good now. You're just muted talking, good. And I wanted you to start over. You're good.
Okay, well, the impression that everybody has nowadays is government involvement, which is wrong altogether.
I agree, and that's what they're pitching, by the way, Dr. Bradley, and that's why I brought it up.
The United States was energy independent 2 years ago. We were a net exporter of energy. All that's been shut down since the Sleepy Joe took, his cadre of comrades took control. They've shut down our energy independence, and now we're importers. We're on the end of the chain. And there's, we can look at who... Qui bono, who benefits on this too, to see where the real loyalties are with those that have pulled this off. But the point of the matter is that that we can set the example. We can teach by principle. We don't have to use the sword to convert concept. People don't have to accept our free and liberty ways. And here's what John Quincy Adams said. America has abstained from interference in the concerns of others, even when the conflict has been for principles to which she clings. She goes not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. She is the well-wisher to the freedom and independence of all. She is the champion and vindicator only of her own. See, we have a wrong-headed approach to almost everything. Government involvement, treaty involvement, this... We could give you many quotations about us staying away from entangling alliances and these things which draw us into war unconstitutionally and improperly, where there is no justification for it. And these eternal wars that everybody's involved in does not have to be our problem. And we can go about our business, and people can look to us and say, wait, they got a pretty good thing over there. I wonder how you get that. We don't have to go conquer anybody or to by the force of a bayonet or anything like that. People can watch and observe and see the benefit and the value. Americans at one point were welcome all over the world. There was no such thing as an ugly American, really. I mean, well, they may have been really physically ugly, but the fact of the matter is that they were respected, and the principles that America was living by, the rest of the world was in awe of what we had. And now, and I can tell you this from personal conversations wherein other people's citizenry have sat with me and told me the perception is that America is a bully. America is going to get its way. America is going to push its agenda. It's going to be this forceful effort throughout the nations of the
world. But it's a bully peddling the wrong principles too, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it is. If you're forcing people, it's compulsion. It's not freedom. It's Satan's plan. And that's where we are right now. Every time we have a government involvement in something they're not supposed to be, there are certain areas of responsibility that a general government should have, certain areas a state government should have, but none else. Their purpose is to preserve God-given rights and within the realm of the limits and bounds established constitutionally. The consent of the governed is required, and the right of the people to alter their government is inherent in everything that happens. And so those that hold office take an oath to operate within the limits and bounds of the contract that was agreed to by the people of the states when they ratified it. And nothing that's going on now, this offering of America's oil to save the Europeans, you know what? There's economic things that the businesses may engage in, but this sanction of governments picking and choosing. You look under the Obama administration; they picked and chose successions of success in energy when they said we're going to give billions of dollars to this industry that couldn't stand on its own 2 feet. That isn't government's role. Just like it's not government's role.
And that's why I'm highlighting these conservatives in WorldNet Daily and on the mainstream talking heads. You got conservatives that are pitching, in my opinion, just another perverted way to destroy free economics.
It's fascist.
The free enterprise. It's fascist as opposed to socialist is all. And
well,
what
and
we
both
need
of
to
them
realize.
Are poison.
They are both poison, without a doubt.
Yes.
But the constitutionalists, different from the conservatives, would say, hey, I agree. Let us put our energy on the market. But let's not have it led by government. Let's have government divest itself of the land that it has no authority to hold in the first place. And let's let the American people use the free market to truly play on the national stage the free enterprise way. Let's use the economic engine the founders had, which is not what's being proposed by the conservatives. So I'm not advocating for the conservatives' agenda. I'm just highlighting that they're wrong too, Dr. Bradley.
You're correct in your assessment of that, and let's go to the land issue for just a minute. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 specifies that general government may have 64,000 acres. 64,000 acres, my friend, and that's it. And then they can have other buildings and forts and arsenals and magazines and so on that are ceded to it by the agreement of the states. But there is nothing in there that says the general government should own the land. Stop for a minute and think. Again, I mentioned Thursday night. I did a radio program up in Alaska. In Alaska, that vast state has only 1% of that vast landmass available for private ownership. Now, if you look at the very definition of communism by Karl Marx. This is the guy that wrote the book, if you will. He says that it can be summed up in one sentence, abolition of private property. Well, so in Alaska, if only 1% of the land is available for private ownership, I think you could make the argument that Alaska is 99% communist. And in Utah, for example, if you consider the general government's ownership as well as state government as well as municipalities, Utah is about 80%. It's just under 80% communist by Marx's definition. And so what we have is a complete violation of the Americanist concept of freedom and the people being able to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. you know, this idea of the general welfare. They're completely walking away from what general welfare is. It's good government that is there to create a predictable, stable environment in which people can pursue their lives. You can get married, you can have children, you can start a business, you can run a farm, whatever. But if 1% is all that's available in Alaska for those usage, you don't have good government. And so the Constitution that they wrote, now there's some discussion about them wanting to rewrite their own Constitution, and or they did not get what was promised them in the 1950s. And that's another whole big discussion in regards to how they were shoehorned into some things that violates the cause of liberty too. But that's where we are now. The big government that controls everything is where there's a big push. And what was in that article you mentioned with WorldNet Daily was really just another big government solution. You know, fascism really is just a merging or a collaboration of corporate and government. And that's
why I'm highlighting it, because I want people to understand, you know what, even when the conservatives, some of them might mean well, but they say, here's the single most important thing that Biden can do. Okay, and then they go on. Well, what about the single most important thing Biden can do is get out of the way, get rid of government property. That's not really government property. It's just controlled by government illegally, wrongfully, immorally. And get out of the way and let the free market take on the world. Let the American people go to work and show what a real economic engine can do. That's what we did in our founding era, and that's why we became the envy of the world, Dr. Bradley. Anything short of that is dishonest manipulation of land and money.
It truly is. And what is now Americanist to most people, including those that claim the title of conservatism, which I hate those liberal and conservative things, because in classical sense, they don't fit what's reality. But we can debate that another time, perhaps. But the fact of the matter is, what is, you know, the Rush Limbaugh-ish and the Sean Hannity-ish jargon that's out there today, that the people that claim to be conservatives really are fostering something that vastly differs from what the American founding fathers were encouraging. And we need to go back and understand the limits and bounds and the purpose of government. And Americans don't today. We've been indoctrinated so thoroughly by the education system, well, the indoctrination system, I guess you could call it. The government schools have taught us so thoroughly that government involvement in everything is the only way to go. And it is the basis of destroying our true individual God-given rights. So that's what we're always fostering, going back to that original intent.
The socialist agenda of Biden and the fascist agenda of this former employee of Donald Trump, whether you choose socialist or fascist, both roads lead you straight to hell. It's the Hegelian dialectic worked to perfection, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it is indeed. And the Hegelian dialectic is a concept that says you take two opposing views, you mash them together, and you supposedly come out with a better thing. No, sometimes if you have a multiple guess test, A, B, C, or D, all four proposed answers are wrong. And you need to go back to the original answer that was offered. We have a back trail to that if we're wise enough to go study it out, discover it, and apply it. We will again become the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on the earth, instead of where we're right now being looked at as a bully.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we have Dr. Bradley on your radio. His goal, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation, to restore the republic. FreedomsRisingSun.com for more details and to catch his webinars and a whole lot more. Dr. Bradley, thank you so much, sir.
You bet. Glad to get together, and let's stay healthy. We need all the friends we can get.
Amen to that. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally. It's the only time we believe in liberalism. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the republic.